not from the magical Isle of Vashon, but this is your Captain Joe, and not up in the captain's chair. I am in another captain's ship. And this is not one bell of the afternoon watch where I am, but it is seven bells of the afternoon watch. And I am talking to you from Port Huron, Michigan, on the St. Clair River. And I am the guest of the captain of the Coast Guard cutter Hollyhock. Now, I remind everybody of two things. The first is that regardless of the rank of the commanding officer, he is always called captain, even if he is a lieutenant junior grade, which is how I started my command career. And the second thing is that no one sits in the captain's chair without his permission. And I've seen that there are three captain's chairs on the bridge of this particular ship. So we're going to start off with Captain Bricky, for that is his name. And this is his second command afloat. And so, Captain, I appreciate your having us aboard. And rather than ask you some questions, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your Coast Guard career. And in particular, I'd like you to talk about your crew, because for me, always the crew were the ones that got the work done. And if I had any successes as a captain, it was because of them. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. And so the way we're doing this, all of you good people who are Captain Joe's people out there, is that I'm handing to him the Andy phone and hope that the damn thing doesn't crap out as we go ahead. So it's over to you, Captain.
Well, sir, it's a pleasure to have you aboard, a pleasure to be on your show. I, you know, I've got 15 years in the Coast Guard now, 8 years of sea time. This is my fifth cutter, my second command, as you mentioned. And what a fantastic way to make a living. And what a privilege it is to serve in the Coast Guard and to serve with the fine men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard, which is the it's the reason I go to work every day. It's the reason I continue to serve and continue to go back to sea, both because I love it and I love the lifestyle, but more importantly because I love the people that I get to work with. In my job as the CO, you're absolutely right. I depend completely on my crew to keep me safe, to keep the ship safe, and to get the job done whenever we get underway. And my job, as I see it, is to support them as best as possible to make this a challenging but rewarding experience for them. You know, whether they're going to do one tour afloat or they're going to do 30 years in the Coast Guard, I want them to walk away from this tour having a better appreciation of seagoing life in the Coast Guard and what it means to be a cutterman, and have some great experiences and sea stories to tell. And the crew that I have on board the Hollyhock is just fantastic. You know, I reported in May and immediately jumped into a patrol up to Lake Superior to work some buoys. And I had to rely on them. This is my first time in the Great Lakes, and they performed fantastically. And, you know, in the inspections and drills that we've done since then, they've performed wonders. And so I am super happy to be their CO. I know that I'm in good hands with them.
So, Captain, those are great words, and they certainly coincide with my feelings about the people that I was privileged to command in all of my ships. And so the name Hollyhock, when the Lighthouse Service became part of the Coast Guard, all of the tenders that belonged to the Lighthouse Service were named for plants and flowers. Now, there were some that were never used. The lousewort was never a Coast Guard cutter. The stinkweed was never a Coast Guard cutter. And there are a few other plants that probably were not ever used either. But Hollyhock is, this is at least the second of her name. It may be more than that, but the second of her name. And the idea of naming them for plants and trees and flowers always seemed to me to be a particularly nice way to name ships. But you were very circumspect in telling us what this ship does. And you're right on the St. Clair River, and this is a part of the world that I know well. I have steamed up and down here with my north wind when we were breaking ice that long, long winter. So give us a few groups on what the ship herself does and a little bit about how you do it. and in particular, distress me mightily with the movement away from traditional ways.
Well, definitely. So you're right, sir. We have modernized these ships in a pretty fantastic way, though the fundamentals do remain the same. So the Hollyhawk is a buoy tender. You know, we work over 228 navigations out here on the Great Lakes, of which there's little under 2,500 throughout the Great Lakes. So one of our primary jobs is to make sure those buoys are watching properly. They're in the right spot. They're not sinking. The lights on top are blinking in the correct fashion so that mariners can safely rely on them for safe navigation throughout the Great Lakes. And don't let the name lakes surprise you. You know, these are gigantic bodies of water. You know, it's 21% of all the fresh water on Earth is here in the Great Lakes. When I say that storms can whip up in a moment's notice, I mean it. You can get some really big seas out here, just like I've seen out in the Pacific, out in the Atlantic. You think you're out at sea when you're out on the lakes and there's no land in sight. But we do primarily aids in navigation. We also do law enforcement, search and rescue. We do ice breaking in the winter. So this is a multi-mission ship, right? So the crew knows we do ATON, but at any moment's notice, we can be called upon to do any of the Coast Guard's 11 statutory missions or help out in other challenging ways. You know, we're an extremely capable ship with an even more capable crew, you know, and it's a small crew. It's a complement of 50 on board this big vessel. You know, we're able to do that because of some of those modern features like the dynamic positioning system, which at a touch of a button, I can ask the ship to hold its position in the water to provide a stable platform while we work a buoy. And in the older days, you would have to manually drive the ship. That was a constant battle that required utmost focus to keep the ship in position. We sometimes do that these days to keep folks on their toes, but nowadays we have technology with the stern thrusters and the computer systems to keep the ship in one position, which allows us to have that smaller crew complement, which is great because what that means is everybody on board the ship has to wear multiple hats. You can't just do one thing on board the ship. You have to do multiple things, your primary job, and you have to be out on the buoy deck, and you have to stand watch. So it's a great work dynamic that brings us all closer together.
So you dodged my question about using horizontal sextant angles to position the buoy. So for all of Captain Joe's people who are veterans of the buoy tending days when that's exactly the way that we had to do it, reassured, because I had to press the captain mightily on this subject, but he had to confess that somewhere down underneath a place where the magnetic compass is hidden is also a two or three boxes with sextants. And I was just talking to one of his brand-new fresh-caught ensigns right out of the academy, who turns out to himself be a Coast Guard junior. And I asked him whether or not he had been able to actually con the ship. And he confessed that that privilege is yet to be accorded him. But I remain very optimistic that our service under the command of people like Captain Bricky and by this young Ensign Smith right out of the academy is not only in good hands, but the traditions and values that we all learned when we were cadets or when we were walking the grinder, marching the grinder at Cape May, when we all took the same oath, Captain Bricky took the same oath that I did in the same place, the words exactly the same, and they all have to do with a life of obedience and service. So sitting next to me are a couple of hands who were in the ships that we honor in this reunion, and that's why your captain is in Port Huron, Michigan, is that it is a reunion of people who were in the ships Storrs, Bramble, and Spar that made the first circumnavigation of the North Atlantic or the North American continent. And two of those people are here. They have been shown the list of words that they're not to say on the air, and they have promised not to do that, but they were sitting on their hands when they made that promise. So I'm going to be ready to snatch the microphone away. We're working through the Andy phone. So the first one I'm going to talk to is Bernie Ann. Bernie lives right across Puget Sound from me, and he is going to be one of the speakers tonight. But, Bernie, I'd like you to take a couple of minutes, and a couple of minutes it is, for you to talk a little bit about your experiences in the Coast Guard in general and in the ships in which you serve that we honor today and through this reunion in particular. Now, you have to speak up. It's a no mumbling, no mumbling. Right. I want to hear your quarterdeck voice. And so we're going to start with you, and then we're going to go over to Chuck, who was one of the most important people in the ship, and that was a storekeeper. What were you, by the way? I need to... a radioman. Okay. All right. So here we go, RM. Take it away.
Thank you, Captain Joe. I feel very privileged to be able to talk on your station. I am an old radioman, the source, and I've got my phone running off at the mouth here, so. Joe just told me, hey, don't be playing with your phone. Anyway, I was a radioman at a Storrs, which circumnavigated the North American continent, and I took a lot of pictures, and I get the privilege of showing those to the group at the reunion here tonight after supper, after Captain Joe, which isn't quite fair. Captain Joe is a four-stripe captain. I'm a second-class radioman, and I get to speak after he does. He's got a silver tongue, as you know, and I'm going to try to do my best not to put everybody to sleep. Anyway, thank you very much, Joe, for letting me say something. Okay.
So we're going to bring Chuck Schmitzer in, and Chuck was a storekeeper. And for those of you who do not understand our rank and rating structure, the storekeeper is, at least in the days when we had paper pay records, that was one of the things that they took care of. And so the crew did not get paid if people like Petty Officer Schmitzer screwed up their pay records. So I'd like you to tell our listeners all over the world, from Singapore to Stockholm, and all the ships and aircraft in between, and broadcasting live from the open bridge wing, well, not quite an open bridge wing, but the open bridge wing of the Coast Guard cutter Hollyhock. And so I'm going to pass this over to you, and you remember, Petty Officer, that you agreed not to say those words. So here we go.
Thank you, Captain Joe. I appreciate it. My name is Charles F. Schmitzer III. I come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was attached to the Storrs in 1957, straight from the from boot camp, and just was a bright-eyed kid that didn't know anything about anything. The first thing that happened to me when I reported aboard the ship is the medical corpsman checked me out and asked me if I was...
drop your throat?
No, I can't take dark spaces. I have a mental block.
What's the question?
Dark space. What happens when you go in dark spaces? You get, what's the word I'm looking for?
Claustrophobic.
There I am. Yeah, you can tell my age. Just turned 84. But anyway, he asked me if I was claustrophobic, and I said, what does that mean? He says, you pass. So he sent me down to the bilges in the ship, and I had to chip away with hammers and chisels and use Rust-Oleum to put the ship back in shape in its lowest portion. Quite an experience. I have not forgotten it after all these years. But again, more about the trip. It was really an exciting trip for a young man like myself from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to think I was going to see Alaska for the first time and kind of follow in the footsteps of John Wayne from North to Alaska. I remember seeing that movie and seeing all the things he experienced. So I was looking forward to seeing those things as well. One of my first assignments early in the morning, first day up in Alaska, was to be on the wheel of the ship, and I just couldn't keep it straight. I was so excited from seeing Alaska for the first time and seeing how the trees were cut for safety. They cut it every so often. They cut us so many 500 feet, 1,000 feet of trees, and to see the animals and the fish, the ducks, it was just exciting for me. So anyway, the captain pulled me off the wheel very quickly. But again, further on, going through the Northwest Passage, I question to this day how we made it through. If it hadn't been for the captain and the other officers, I mean, they were outstanding. Captain Wood, he was cool, calm, and collected. He just knew what to do, when to do it. Totally appreciate that man and what he did for our ship and for our Coast Guard. Just outstanding. But further on, I turned 21 on the ship as well on August 22nd. I had planned on having, my friends had planned on having a cake for me, and I was asked to volunteer to go on and out of the Measure of the Tide. And I didn't want to go because I knew I was getting this birthday cake. And long story short, I was talked into going on the island. We did our measuring the tide and some other things. It was an experience that I enjoyed. In fact, I think Bernie also partook in one of those trips. Yeah, it's exciting. One more thing. As we were going through the Ballast Strait, Bernie didn't see this because he's in the radio shack. What's a radio man know? But anyway, we spotted a bear, a polar bear with two cubs. And the officer on deck was talking to the Canadian on the Labrador. And he said to the OD on the Labrador, "We see some bear. We're going to take a few shots." And the Labrador repeated back, "Do not shoot. Do not shoot." But we were just taking pictures. But those are some of the things that I remember from the trip. Any other questions you might have, Captain Joe?
Because you were talking about Labrador, and Labrador was built to the same drawings as the Wind Class, which he was built for Canada and by Canada. And her captain during that circumnavigation was Captain Tom Pullen. And Captain Pullen was a legend in among Coast Guard, Canadian Coast Guard icebreaker people. And so we have been connected with the Canadians for centuries. And some of my time up in the Sioux, some of my happiest and threatening to my safety time was with some of the Canadian Coast Guard people. So I'm going to get a couple in of my regular features, and if the captain has any of his other people that we would put on, I saw a young third-class petty officer who might want to come on, but while the captain is exercising his absolute authority, I want to bring a couple of things here. So, young Maori. Fireman Maori, are you the junior man in the ship? All right. So I'm Captain Joe, and your captain has been good enough to allow me to talk, among other people, to you. And so my question to you is not any impressions about the quality of the command leadership. I can figure that one out for myself. But since you're a fireman, you work down in the bilges. You're probably very familiar with that. Have you ever heard the word snipe? Ah, well, a snipe is an engineer, and it goes back to the beginning of steam days. It is not a pejorative term. I want you to understand that. But you're a snipe. Are you striking? Okay. When you get ready to strike, and you work for a chief down in the, chiefs are close to God, almost close to God. Even I was raised by chiefs so. In any case, so I want you to talk a little bit about what you do in the ship, and do you have a family? Yes. Okay. All right. So what you do in the ship, and you can make it as gritty as you want. There are some words that we are not allowed to say on the air if you get close to one, then I'll just snatch the telephone away from you. So, all right, so here you go.
And we are here at KVSHLP Vashon. We're waiting for Captain Joe to come back on the line here. I don't know if we're having an issue with his phone. Yeah, I can't tell if we're having an issue with this phone or if the young man is just not picked up. But we're going to give it a shot here and see if we can get him back on. In the meantime, let's see here. I'm going to come back with Captain Joe. And hang on just 1 minute here. I'm looking for the right thing. Here we go. I'm going to put a little bit of Captain Joe's Semper Paratus on, and we'll see if we can get him back on the air. So stand by just a moment. Okay, folks, we're still having a little technical difficulty here, but I'm working on it, and I think I'm going to have him back just in a couple of minutes. So please hang on just for a little bit longer. I'm sorry, we're going to have to hear Coast. Okay, I believe I've got Captain Joe back. Captain Joe, are you there?
I am, Truman, and thank you so much. I hope that you got the interviews, because I had a wonderful interview with both the captain and his junior enlisted hand, and I particularly wanted to get both of them, one from his captain's chair and the other one from down in the bilges, because as the captain has pointed out and as I have said many times, it is the people that we are privileged to command who actually accomplish the mission, and we just provide the atmosphere in which they can thrive and they can function. And, of course, it is our job to always bring them back home to their families and their friends safe. And that, of course, is one of the main missions of the commanding officers, to make sure that his people and his ship come home safe. So did you get some of the interview?
The only interview we missed was the young man. We did not get him. He went away as soon as he took the phone. He went away, so I'm really sorry to say that we missed that. But okay. All the rest came through loud and clear, and we're just about out of time, Captain Joe.
Okay, so then I will, as I always do, close with my wish and my desire and my command from the captain's chair, that for all of Captain Joe's people who are responsible for other people, that you be watching their six and taking care of them. The virus business is starting to revive, and so it is also my wish, desire, and command that those who have not yet been vaccinated get on with it, because this is not the time for us to screw around with all of that. We have had too much time, too many people lost, too many friends gone, too many empty places at the table for us to have to revive all of that. So, this is your Captain Joe up and not in my own captain's chair. Actually, I'm sitting out in the sun on the port bridge wing of the Coast Guard Cutter Hollyhock, thanks to the generosity of her captain, Captain Bricky. And we will meet here again next week. Once again, I will be up in my own captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly. And thank you.